I don't feel like anyone's talking.
They're blockers.
That's not why I came to Hollywood.
Fucking backwards.
Bullshit.
I hate to break it to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Hate to Break It to You. My guest tonight is... what can I say? He's just absolutely brilliant. He is a veteran of SNL. He's a hilarious comedian. He's a writer. He's an actor. Please welcome Jeff Richards.
Thank you.
Dude.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We've been trying to get together.
We have. To no avail.
Wait, so my first question is, you've been doing these Zooms, and you are you because you don't, I guess you have to do it for the way you do your pod.
Do what?
The Zooms, you can't do them in person.
No, like right now, could we do a Zoom right now, you mean?
We couldn't do this as a Zoom.
Sure we could.
I mean, we could, but it wouldn't be, have you been doing any pods in person?
What'd you call me?
Pod, person.
Have I been doing pods?
In person.
No, hardly. One other one.
Yeah, but have you gone in person?
One time.
Are you scared?
In person?
Yeah.
I don't know. I a little bit, but I feel like, I don't know. Most people are okay, right?
What's the truth anymore?
That's another thing.
Dude, I want to talk about you. First of all, what is your podcast again?
Just the
Jeff Richards Show. Okay. Guys, you have to watch his podcast, the Jeff Richards Show. It's fucking amazing. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Break the cherry?
You did. You know, the one.
Was I first one or second one?
Harlan did the first one. We just did audio.
Okay.
It wasn't even going to be a deep fake show then. And then you were the first when we did the Robert Downey Jr.
Dude, so it's such a brilliant concept. And the thing is, you didn't even tell me what it was. You just said, blah, 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 you want to do my pod? And then you said, and then you came on and you're in a deep fake Robert Downey Jr. And then the next thing I know, you're just talking to me like Robert Downey Jr. You never told me.
Yeah.
And then eventually I just said, okay, I went with it nicely.
You really did.
I went with it.
It was almost like somebody woke you up to do improv.
Yeah, right. But do you tell anybody else that that's how you do it or no?
Oh, now I've gotten it a little more, I'm like, you know, yeah, I'll be interviewing as this person. Yeah, it'll start off that way and. You know, we're not going to go back and forth.
But you never told me that.
I think I did in some way, but I probably didn't convey it the right way, though. But it was fun.
Dude, it's fucking brilliant, dude.
Thank you.
It is so good. Take all the compliments. I'm going to wash them. Let them wash over you. Wait, so I want to ask you a bunch of questions because we don't really know each other, but we do. So how old are you?
46.
You're 46. Okay, so you're younger than me. Where are you from?
I'm from the Bay Area, the East Bay.
The yay, yay.
Walnut Creek.
Oh, I know Walnut Creek. Okay, that's by Rooster T's.
That's the first place I ever did stand up.
Rooster T Fizzles.
Yep.
And so when did you start?
So that was like 98, 97, 98.
And then when did you get SNL?
2001.
Wow. Dude, that's so quick.
It's too fast.
You got it fucking so fast.
Yeah.
And so you were on like that.
I had like 20 minutes of material.
That's good.
At the time, you know, 15, 20 minutes of stand-up material. But yeah, I mean, it was crazy.
Wait, you start at Rooster Teeth Feathers.
I just did one show there, but that was the first place.
So you were a stand-up or both?
Stand-up first, yeah.
Stand-up first, and then so you started and you just started just doing impressions?
Yep.
And when did you know you could start doing impressions?
Probably when I was like a kid, you know. When I was a kid, I used to do my teachers and my uncle and different people like that.
Because you have no accent right now. I wouldn't know where you're from. The fact that you're from the Yay.
I try to keep it very simple.
Yes, it really is simple.
Like an orange juice commercial.
I get that vibe.
Yeah.
Like orange juice.
It's just a natural taste.
Yes.
That's my persona, yeah.
So you go and you start doing stand-up and you start, how did SNL find you?
Well, I did Mad TV the year before.
Oh, you did? You're the only, I gotta fix the intro.
Not you're the only one, no.
You're the first one.
First, I guess.
He is the first person to ever be only on SNL and Mad TV. Yeah. That was you. Who was the next person?
Taron Killam.
Taron Killam, okay. So you were on Mad, so how did you get Mad TV?
I got recommended by the Improv and Joel Zadak, and just got recommended for like an Improv, you know, at the Improv, 5-minute stand-up showcase for Mad TV people.
And then, boom.
And then, boom, I guess. It took a long time. They didn't really want me, I don't think. Because I just, you know, so green, and I did a million auditions, twice to network.
Mm-hmm.
Finally got on there. Did a 4 of 12, you know, 4 shows of 12.
You just did 4 apps.
That's it, yeah.
Just 4 apps.
4 apps. But that would happen a lot, you know, like they'd pick 4 guys and 2 would go 6 months, 2 would go a year, 1 year, 2 years, you know. Or maybe a guy would go 5-6 years, but it's, you know, it's pretty tough to survive in that climate.
So, I know, but I mean, dude, you can do any impression. So that's like what you would, that's the player.
But at that time I couldn't do that much. I could do some impressions, but I had no acting training. I didn't know stage direction, no, you know.
When were you were doing stand up? Where were you doing stand up in Northern California?
No, Northern California, I just did like a public access TV show in high school.
Got it.
And then I did some radio stuff.
Yeah.
And then no stand-up, and then just stand-up was like 97, 98.
And you started doing that here or down up there?
That was in, mostly, I got, most of my stage time was, because I went to college in North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and I started, really did all my grinding at Charlie Goodnight's.
Yeah.
Raleigh. Yeah.
It's so good there.
Yeah.
And so you would do that.
Yeah.
And then you were fucking doing, that was like your training.
Yeah, we had an awesome open mic night. It was like 200 people there, just awesome crowds. So it was a good place to start.
So you go and you do Mad TV for half a season. Mm-hmm. And then when SNL comes right after?
Yeah, like less than a year, I think it even was.
Wow. So yeah. How did that happen?
They just saw the timing, you know? My managers at the time didn't tell me about going on or even trying to get on SNL.
Mm-hmm.
They just worked it until they got the audition and then told me that, you know, I had this audition in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, I'm not ready to do that. I don't want to do that. You know, let's wait. They said, you know, it's, you know, you're going to go there and do it there, you know, on the stage. And I said, all right, okay, I'll try to get this together. And, I was like, and I just got in a car accident, like literally 2 minutes before. I just gotten back in the car and got on the highway, and they called me.
How bad was the accident?
Not that bad, but enough to shake you up, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
So you had a bad car accident.
Not a bad one.
But not a bad one.
Yeah, but.
Fender bender. And they're like, you got an audition, and they said it was SNL?
Yeah.
And then?
Then I had 2 weeks, so I just worked on like, you know, 10 impressions pretty much.
How many did you have at that time?
Probably about 10.
That's
not, yeah.
But did you do any other jokes or just impressions?
No, just impressions. Yeah.
And so you had about 10. And then so when you went to SNL, you did how many? About 10?
Like 9.
9. And then how was the reaction on the stage? Obviously, you got it, but did you feel like it was, like, warm?
I was just, like, it was kind of one of those things. So I think it's, like, like the Comedy Store kind of prepared me for that, like that late, those late night sets,
because
there were people there in the darkness, you know, all the producers and stuff, like 8 people, and they just, and I just wasn't getting any laughs really, so I just kind of cranked it a little harder, and you know that kind of thing where it's like you just don't want to let them, just don't want to let them think you're nervous.
Yes.
Of course you're nervous.
Yeah.
You don't want to look like you're nervous. So I my attitude was like, I don't want my nerves to be the thing that swallows me up and stops any opportunity. So I just went for it, and I heard some laughs here and there. I felt that was pretty good. And then I got off the stage, started walking, and then Lauren kind of stopped me and shook my hand and said, good job.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, that was good. Yeah.
That's a big deal. That's like Johnny Carson, like to the couch type shit. Wow. And then when did you know you had it?
When I landed in San Diego, because I flew directly to San Diego the next day.
To do like a gig?
Yeah, to do the La Jolla Comedy Store.
So, and then you knew like that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Well, yeah.
That's incredible. Wait, so when did you become a regular at the store?
98.
So you came down. You have a very quick in. So when did you started comedy? What year?
Well, it was really like 97, 98. So I did 97, somewhere in 97. And then when I graduated from college, it was like 98. So I moved here in 98. So
you came here.
Straight here.
And yeah. Then you auditioned for the store?
Yep.
With an agent or just like potlucks and someone saw you?
Bob Oshak recommended me.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Bob is a really good guy. He's recommended a lot of people.
Yeah.
He's a sweet guy. Like he helps a lot of people.
Bob
succeed.
Oshak.
Yeah.
How you doing, Jamie? Okay. It's Bob Oshak.
So he recommended you.
Yeah.
You auditioned for Mitzi?
Yeah.
And then you got in the first try?
No. First try they made me a door guy.
So you worked there as a door guy?
Yep.
And then?
And I worked there as a door guy and nothing was really happening. I didn't get another showcase because Mitzi was walking up one night and I was sitting in the back door area and I just thought I'd make a little joke or talk. She's like, she goes, how's it going? And I go, well, I don't know about me, but that bathroom, woo! And she just goes, well, then clean it up. So I literally had to clean the bathroom up.
Because you made a fucking joke.
Yeah.
So then what happened?
So then.
Wait, what did she say?
Then clean it up. Yeah.
Okay, so then what happened?
And then one night, somebody said something, and she said to me, she goes, do your Louis Anderson impression, which sounds pretty much like her.
Her. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, he's loud like
I go, you ready to play that feud? It's hot in here. You guys, does anybody want a club sandwich? Is this your club? Whose club sandwich is this? Is this yours? Can I have it?
Oh, my God, dude. Dude, it's so perfect. I love Louis. He's one of my heroes. And I know he's one of your heroes.
Yes.
And I get to work with him because I get to do Funny You Should Ask.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that is just, that's Louis, dude. That is so dead on. He's seen you do it.
Yeah, I've seen it. I like it. I told him the first time he did it, because he opened for me in Vegas, he said, you can keep going. When you do me, you can just keep going.
And he
talk about all the other things I like shrimp and blueberry pie.
Wait, did you open up for Louis as Louis?
Yeah.
Wait, see
in
this?
In Vegas.
How many times?
Once.
But he
that's
had
how well it went.
But he had you.
I did. I think it was the either the Riviera or the Rio. I think it was the Riviera. And I go, you know, I went up there trying to work the crowd as him.
How you doing? It's Louis. How are you? How's everybody doing? It's hot in here. Is it hot in here? It's just me, hum. I get hot in here.
So you got in the store after like two auditions with Bob. Where is Bob?
I don't know. I know he's was writing for...
Bob is like one of the sweetest people in the world, let alone... He might be the sweetest person in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him forever. He's like one of the few people that like, wait, I want to help you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Great stand-up. And
hilarious. Hilarious.
Really, really could just pull any word and... not lose momentum and he's you know wrote for years and years and late night
I think he was writing on
Ferguson I think and
I would see him when I would like do guest spots on those like you know appearances I would see him so you get within the store so you're a doorman I think I remember you when you were a doorman but it was quick. And then you went up, and then, so you did your Louie, and then what happened for her?
I did Louie, and then I just pretty much got passed right after that.
She passed you?
Yeah.
And then how long did you grind it out?
That was, you know, another, I guess, 9 months.
That's nothing. That's so
I
quick.
Know, but I paid for all this on the back end.
I know. It really does even itself out.
You pay your dues, what, on the beginning or the
middle
end?
Middle or, or you go, there's like, it's true. It's very few people like hit right away and keep going all the way through. It's happened. Or very few people take forever and then hit and keep going. I mean, or there's ups and downs. It's very true.
Yeah.
So wait, so you get in and then... You get the, then you get Mad TV and stuff, and then so then you get SNL right after.
Right.
Who were you working with in La Jolla, or were you headlining that weekend after?
I was working with John Reap.
You were John Reap, okay. Another hilarious.
We started with in Charlie Goodnight's.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Hilarious, yeah.
So you're working with him, and then you get SNL, and what happens? Fuck, man. The store has so many people that came out of SNL, and it's still continuing. It's awesome.
Yeah, Punky Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then I went to New York, and then... so I flew to New York 2 weeks before 9/11.
But what time is it? It's time to play what?
When you eat the cake?
No, it's time to play what?
What?
The Feud.
You guys ready to play The Feud?
He's angry. He's fucking pissed off about something. I went there, and I tell you this, too. I did stand-up on The Feud set for the audience. In 5 minutes, he had me out there doing stand-up for The Feud audience, right? And
were you just doing him?
Yeah, I pretty much did him for half of it. And then after the show was off, we were done taping. He was in the dressing room. He was like, "You want some Diet Coke?"
Diet Coke.
And he had like ceiling, floor to ceiling Diet Coke cases.
Do you smoke cigarettes? You want some cigarettes?
And he had floor to ceiling cigarettes.
He's the sweetest man.
He's the best.
I love Louis. I love working with him. And he's so fucking funny, dude.
Yes.
Like, he may be the he's like top five funniest person of all time.
Yes.
And I sit and he can say anything and I'll cry. I cry at him laughing.
Yeah.
And then I'm crying at you because it's so perfect.
Well, don't cry. I mean, you don't need to cry. I mean, let it out on your own time.
But
I'm kidding.
Why he's so great is because besides all of that humor and kindness, the empathy within him is unparalleled. He's the sweetest guy.
Yeah.
I just do, but because you're doing something I love and you do so perfectly. So I want to get to the facts, but I have fun, but you're making me laugh. Okay, so, dude, so you go and you get SNL, so what happens? So you really had a quick rise. I know you paid for it on the back.
Go paid, ahead. Still paying for okay. it during this interview. I flew out to New York, 2 weeks before 9/11. So basically, I got ready. We're all there, and then the first day of like the commercial.
That's a tough time to become a new cast member.
Yeah. So pretty much that was, just the first year trying to get on, trying to.
But did they have anybody? It was you. It was Daryl, the other one that was the big impressionist.
Daryl was, yeah, he's.
It was Daryl and it was you. I mean, people can do them, but there's people that specialize in them.
Yeah. I mean, at that time, yeah. And Dean could do quite a few.
Dean was there. Yeah.
And, that was pretty much it. Just trying to get on. And so I got put in things doing impressions. Like that's when I get inserted in things here.
I remember I would see you and you would kill. But I feel like I was, because I knew you, even though I didn't really know you, I knew you. I do remember you kind of as the door guy. And then when going up and just killing, and they were like, that's the door guy. And then I remember the next thing I know, you were fucking at the improv. You were passed and you were fucking destroying. And I was like, who's that? And he was like, he just got SNL. And I remember seeing you and I'm like, I don't know if they gave you enough time. But I just remember you were so spot on. I thought they would give you your whole segment. But I'm not sure. I don't remember enough. But I do remember seeing you on it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, the hardest part is writing. And I didn't probably apply myself enough. But I found that real challenging. I mean, I had real, I'm not going to make a million excuses about it. But I'd say if I had to do one thing differently, if anything, it would be to learn how to write really well. If you can.
So you're like 25. So you go and you get on. What is a typical, when does the season start in SNL?
September, late September.
Late September. Okay, so when do you get to New York? Late August?
Yeah, mid September. Or no, maybe August, yeah.
And so what happens? Tell us what happens.
What do you mean, what happens? You get to SNL, and then what happens then?
Do you get a living expense?
Not really. I mean, you got setup fee, yeah.
You get a setup fee, and then you have to go find your own place.
Yeah.
And where'd you live?
Upper West Side the first time.
You just rented an apartment.
Yeah, furnished apartment.
And bam, and then you have to go to work. When's the first day of work?
First day of work was 9/11. We were supposed to do commercial parody read-throughs.
Wow.
That day.
Okay, so then how long, the season was put on hold for like, what, a month or so?
No, I don't think it was even put on hold.
Wow.
I think it was just like, well, we got a show in 2 weeks. I think that was what happened.
So you just kept trugging along. So your first day is just kind of read-throughs, and then you guys are done?
Well, we didn't do the first day because the first day was 9/11. Typical week, yeah. First day is meet the host.
Okay.
In Lauren's office, pitch ideas.
Okay.
And then go away and start writing or come back Tuesday. Start writing Tuesday all night. Through the morning, and then do.
How late do people stay? Like 5 a.m.?
Yeah.
And then come back on
that day.
And at like what time?
Like, I don't know when it was. I forget. Like something like 12 or something.
Come at 12 maybe. And you pitch ideas.
No, 12 on Wednesday, we'd read the sketches. So Tuesday night, all night, write the sketches. Wednesday, do. Read-throughs.
Yeah.
And then they break away from that, and then when they know what's going to get picked, then they start, going from there.
What happens on Thursday?
Blocking.
They pick. And then what happens on Friday?
Run-throughs. Pretty much run-throughs.
And things get cut each day, right?
No, they get cut between. Dress and well, they get cut. I mean, they pick like so many sketches after the read through, and then they get cut the night of. Yeah, I guess they do get cut too during the week sometimes. Yeah.
So it's sitcom. It's obviously very different, but it's the same type of context, different content, obviously, but it's like, you know, you do block, run through, and then they do a blocking, and then they rewrite, and then obviously these are sketches, and that's just one scenario in a sitcom, but, and then you have tape night on a Friday night, and here you have live on a Saturday night. I mean, it's very different, but it's the building.
But there aren't rehearsals, like, it's pretty much just blocking.
That's...
Which I found, I mean, if you're not used to acting... And then there's no, like,
there's no
timing, and there's no,
there's no rehearsals.
There's no real rehearsals. You kind of just go through it and they'll block it a little bit. And it used to scare the hell out of me.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then you're ready. You got to hit all the points because it's this moving organism.
Yeah.
And you got to go in and you got to, you got to hit it.
Yeah.
Like, you got to, like, walk in as someone's walking out, and you didn't even rehearse that.
Right.
And you have to, like, make sure your mustache is on.
But you go back to, like, the read-through, and you go through that rhythm of it, you know, the read. That's all you really have. And then, you know.
And you're doing it at night in your apartment.
Yeah. And then the weird thing was that I was always told, well, don't learn it too well, because between dress and air, they'll cut chunks of dialogue and things and add things.
Oh.
So don't know it too well, but then, you know, you got to know it. So pretty well, right? I mean, try to know it.
So then after your first show, who was the first host of your show?
Reese Witherspoon.
It was Reese. And how many times did you get on the show? Or did you get on?
I think it was just once. Yeah.
And then at the end you wave.
Yeah.
And then, after that, there's a party?
Yeah, there's a party, yeah. There's the first party where you mostly eat and hang out. And it's more so like smaller cast, friends, family, this and that. And then...
Why is it mostly eating?
I don't know. It's like just where they have the dinner at. You know, they do the food. Then the second party later, there's no food, just...
I mean, there's two parties in a night.
Two parties. Oh, yeah.
Every week.
Yeah.
So what time does the second party start?
I mean, we just when you're done with the first party, you know. It's like 2-3 hours for the first one and then off to the second one.
And it's like at a club?
Yeah, different restaurants, different, not clubs so much.
And what time is that one over, 6 a.m.?
It's usually places, yeah, oh, 6, 7, yeah, right.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. It's usually something that's like... closed, you know, closed. Yeah, it's like secret.
It's for you guys, and then like, you know, like, I like Prince used to show up and different stuff right. Like that. So, was your first party a rager?
Yeah, the first party was. I don't remember exactly the first party, but there were a lot of ragers. Yeah, there was a lot of fun, a lot of good times.
I mean, just brilliantly funny people. On, you know, the institution of comedy with the hottest star of the moment.
Right.
What wouldn't be fun?
And music act of the moment.
Oh, so yeah. So then they're playing.
Yeah.
Who was the band that week with Reese?
That was Paul Simon.
So Paul came and he'll play after?
I don't know. I don't think he came.
He didn't. But
maybe he
did. Other bands do.
Yeah. And hang out and go, you know.
Like if Coldplay did it, they might come and play at the after party.
Yeah.
That's, and then like other like socialites and celebs and influencers and stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, Danny DeVito will get up there with a saxophone and do his thing. And, you know, we all, no, I'm just kidding.
Well, I believed it. But what time is it? No, it's time to play what?
You guys ready to play that feud?
Every time I say that, you gotta go.
What?
You gotta be ready.
Show me ready. What are the top things that you need to do? What are the number one thing that you can use to protect your skin against against the sun? Show me sunscreen. It's an easy one, but a lot of people just say mud.
Mud. Wait, so now how long were you on SNL for?
3 years rounded up.
You were. Did each year get you use more?
Yeah, I'd say so.
And then when you were done, was it a surprise?
Yeah, well, not really.
People usually go 3 to 7 years?
I don't know. I mean, just it's like you're running. It's like you're running. It's like you're running from something. It's like you're running away from. I don't know. It's weird. I can't really explain it, but it's a unique kind of. It's like the kind of pressure. It's like not the pressure to support a family or go out or like fight some disease you have, but the pressure to like come up with ideas when you really don't think you can come up with anything. And you go through all that. I think that's the thing is like the first year you got a bunch of ideas and, you know, and then the second year you have less. And then it's like making an album, like the first album is great. And then it's hard to make another album. And mm-hmm. I think that was the hard part. It's like, well, I've done all the impressions I can do. I guess I'll try to learn some, and it gets more challenging. The longer you can stay on that show, I think it's pretty amazing.
I like that you equated SNL with raising a family and fighting a disease. It's a different type of hard. Those were your three choices.
Those seem like hard things to me.
Fuck. So did they let you know, or were you like, knew you were going to go down?
I mean, I pretty much knew. I had a feeling. But, you know, it's just that kind of thing where you just lose your, I don't know, you don't become, it's all about being like the favorite, right? Like, you know, you kind of aren't the favorite, maybe. Like, there are people that are more of the favorites now, you know? It's hard to survive, and I think I did my best, but you know, it was a good training ground. I mean, if I had gone to Groundlings or something, done maybe 5 years of Groundlings first, maybe I would have not made the same mistakes. But
you did 3 years.
It was okay. Yeah,
that was like your Groundlings.
Yeah,
and every week you were on TV.
Yeah.
And then when you were done, what were you thinking your next career move was going to be? Like in terms of, were you going to do more stand-up? Were you going to more focus on acting?
Well, I got pretty distracted afterwards for a little while. I wanted to really buy real estate because I felt like I had this window of having really good employment for a while and then some money. So I really got focused on trying to buy a house for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, so I did that and it kind of took me out of it. And then I really just wanted to do anything but, you know, impressions. So I tried to do music and.
I think I remember you were doing music.
Yeah, I was doing music and, you know, and then I think what my thing was too is I'd get auditions, but I had trouble memorizing, especially how many pages they give you. It's the night before, and I had trouble with that. And of course, that's going to affect your performance, you know?
Yeah.
So, but then I learned how to memorize better through just audio, like read the lines into a recorder, listen to the lines. That helps.
But did you ever want to have your own show after that and do like your own variety show or something?
I don't know. I don't know. I had to come back to impressions, you know.
How long did you put them down for?
I don't know. Like, I would do them, but I had no passion for it, and I didn't want to learn new ones. You know, a couple years, 2-3 years.
See, this is where I have so many questions for you. It's like you, Frank, Melissa, Jay Farrow, Dean. I mean, when I think of impressionists, I think of you guys. That not just impressionists, I think of comedians, but the really, really knock it out, you know? And it's, to me, I fucking love impressions. I love impressions.
Because you do impressions.
I do.
You're really good at them. You mean it's... I mean, you getting and doing original characters is the same thing as doing a celebrity impression.
It's the same thing. It's just you're making up somebody that somebody doesn't know. And usually you get a character from life and then you you get it like from one person or maybe you splice two people together. But it's a similar. But with the impression, there's more pressure because it's a known entity. So you have to knock it out of the park or people judge it. And then, you know, you've got everybody trying to do that person. As opposed to not everyone's going to know the milk, you know, the barista down here in Silver Lake, you know. Yeah. But look, I have so many feelings about impressions. Like, I sit here, I could laugh at you all fucking day, dude. I could laugh at Frank fucking all day. I could laugh at Melissa Villasenor all fucking day. Like, and I feel like I want you to tell me because I would put you on the Rushmore of impressions. Daryl can do anyone.
You know, it's like, you know, for years I've tried to do different voices and, you know, it's like the old mob scene, you know, back in the 40s because people, you know, there was an embargo and no one really wanted anything to do with it, you know, and it's Mogadishu. And
did you live with Daryl? Because he's Upper West Side, I think.
No, I didn't actually, no. I didn't know.
All right, so, but here's the thing is that do you feel impressions get the respect they deserve?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends. Impression can mean, I think the word impression gets a bad rap a little bit. Like, because I think when people think impression, they think cheesy, corny, ones that are more hacky that you've seen a million times before, you know.
But it's not. If somebody can do somebody really well, I don't care that Jack Nicholson is working at a 7-Eleven. If it's dead on, I like it. Okay, yeah. But maybe I'm from fucking Fort Lauderdale and I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt and I like to drink Mai Tais. Maybe I'm that type of dude. But it doesn't mean you can't put him in a more specific place or whatever. Or like reverse it. Like I remember Phil Hartman would do like subversive versions of it. He would reverse them and do them like in Russian. And it was, yeah. I forget, his audition was incredible. And so I understand it. But to me, just the ability to do it is measurable. And it shows you that you have a fucking brilliant ear. Not a lot of people can do. And it's acting.
It's acting.
It's fine. And it's fucking, I get really fucking butthurt about it because I think like a good impression is Oscar worthy. And with comedy, they're like, oh, that's cute. Your little party trick. It's nice. But like, since it's not some deeper material, but it's not. It's no different than somebody portraying In My Left Foot. I mean, I don't know the character's name, but Daniel Day-Lewis is brilliant in it. He won an Oscar, but he became someone else. When you become an impression, you become someone else.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. Because it's like doing Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, God.
Is like, you know, he just talks like this. It's,
the face.
I made some dandelion root tea, and I didn't make the water hot enough, so it didn't get too dark. Oh.
The face, dude, you got the face.
Don't talk to me like that.
Yes.
Don't look at me like that. Yeah. There was a direction that we didn't want to go in, but we had to go in some direction. So we went in to that direction. Yeah,
dude. No, you went there. You for a minute you didn't even realize I was here.
I still don't know you're there.
I believe that. See, that's what I'm saying. No, there's not many people. This is a rarefied talent. You know what I mean?
I appreciate it. Thank you very
much. It's just the truth. And I feel like...
How do you know what the truth is anymore?
For me, my opinion, it's my truth.
Are you sure you know what you see?
I think I just saw you become Dustin.
There was a...
I had a Yorkshire Collie. Was it a Yorkshire Collie? Was it a Yorkshire? Was it a Terrier, I think. I think it was a Terrier. It was a shit dog. It's just shit everywhere.
Yeah.
No, wait, did you meet him?
Yeah.
Did he do the show?
No, but we're talking to his family right now, actually.
About?
Maybe coming on my show. We'll see.
Dude.
I hope. That'd be sick. Hoffman to Hoffman.
Oh, my God.
How are you?
Dude. That would be fucking insane. I love his...
I have to move my lips because if I don't move my lips, they're going to fall off.
Whoa, wait. I got to interrupt myself. What'd you notice about that video? You like that hoodie, huh? For right now, I'm offering a limited time special. That's right. Hoodie from Malibu's Most Wanted. This is B-Rad. It's a limited hoodie authenticated by me. And we're only going to do 25 of each. That's right. 25 of each. And that's it. The link is down below. Click it if you want to be part of the B-Rad army. All right. Now I'm going to cut back from myself to myself. All right, guys. Since I've been doing these videos, I got my first sponsor. A new hand sanitizer. I want to talk to you about this video sponsored to you by Jizzoff. Now you're laughing. You go, what the? What's Jizzoff? You doing porn? No. Jizzoff is a new sanitizer company. Their motto is Jizzoff because it's funny. They came to me because, like, you know, I have Jizzy TV on Roku and, like, you know, people used to call me Jizzy is my nickname. It's like a rap thing. But their motto is that the world is covered in germs and now more than ever we have to get rid of the germs, the schmutz, the schmegma, or as these two ladies who invented it call it, jizz. And it doesn't have to mean that. It could just mean, like, jizz is the new germs. That's their motto. It smells really good. Like, kind of like fresh, like fabric softener. And it's got a lot of oils in it. So I don't know if you notice this, but when I use the other stuff, my shit gets dry. It's soft. It smells good. It doesn't leave your hands dry. And they also have masks, you know, jizz off. That'd be great. You walk in the supermarket. Jizz off, man. Hey. A funny sanitizer that's really, actually really good and works. The link is right here in the description. Listen, get rid of the germs, get rid of the dirt, and these crazy times, jizz it off. How long do you take to study an impression? I want to know if you really study it, if you do it once or twice, and then boom. I know how you do. I guarantee you do what I think, you know, I do, and a lot of people do, is you find that one or two phrase and you hook on. And you repeat it.
Yeah.
But do you sit in the mirror and do it?
It just depends on how into it I am. How much the intensity that I want to learn.
Yes, it's so true. You have to really want to know. You have to really want to do the person.
Like when I grew up with David Letterman, like since I was like 12 years old, I had my own TV and I would watch David Letterman. And I just love David Letterman. So it's just, it naturally at some point, I don't know when, I don't know how. You just start to put together this aromatic incandescent bullshit. You would hope at some point, I don't know when, I don't know how, but the decor in here is prosecutable. It just, for no necessary rhyme or reason, here's a baseball, here's a guy who's taking a piss, here's, I don't know, these are from the Foreign Legion, you know.
Yo, what time is it? What time is it?
It's are you ready to play that feud?
Dude, what's so brilliant is that you say the lines that they would say on top of the brilliant facial and the timing and everything you're doing, but you also say Dustin Hoffman would not say Foreign Legion. David Letterman would.
Because the Foreign Legion, and again, this is not by any consequence or indefinite demeanor, but you could almost hold the matchstick and bend it with either finger. I don't know how, but again, it's up to you.
So how long did you work on Letterman?
Letterman was like
that,
an.
That's like your.
I mean, that's
muse,
just
though.
Over time. I think I got better at it. You know, over time, putting little things in it. You know, I like to just start going. I not knowing what to say. You know, straight up improv. Just start talking and just see if I can make that sound like something. You know.
And so you, but how if you have the intensity of somebody that you want to do. How do you practice it, if at all?
I think I like to watch a lot of the person.
Okay.
And not try to do it. Just take it in. Just hear it. Let it just get lost in my subconscious or something. You know, just take it in, especially if I don't know where to start with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't like to just jump in, because when I'm wrong, then I'm hard on myself for not having it good enough, quick enough.
Mm-hmm.
Just take my time.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like Pinkman was an example of that from Breaking Bad. That one took me a while, and I just kept watching Breaking Bad. You know, I loved the show.
And then after a while, I just kind of talk like this. Yeah, yeah. Yo, does it even make any sense to you that we'd have to wait out here for this long, bitch? Right,
mm-hmm.
Right, Mr. White. Right, right, white rice, bitch.
So how many impressions would you say you do?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe like 30.
30.
Somewhere around there.
And how many do you like to do?
Probably like 10.
10. Do you have any one that you're working on that you're excited about, new or no?
I'm going to start working on a couple. But I haven't started yet. I mean, Willem Dafoe's kind of a newer one.
Dude, it's so good.
Thanks.
Take your time.
Can I do him from American Psycho? Remember, he's Detective Kimball? I just have to ask some preliminary questions for my files. And then Christian Bale as Patrick Wayne was like, sure, go ahead. So, what restaurants do you go to?
Johnny's, Wild Cafe, Arturo's, Sally's. Don't you already know all this?
I just wanted to see if you knew.
So
I just wanted to see if you knew.
What about when he says, wait, say this line and you're going to love it. You weren't there, Kovic. You weren't even there.
You weren't there, Kovic. You weren't even there.
You know what that's from?
What?
Born on the 4th of July. You will love that scene, dude.
Oh, nice.
You have to, when they're in Mexico and they're fighting in wheelchairs, him and Tom Cruise.
Nice.
That's like a Willem Dafoe. He gets crazy.
It's great. I love him.
He's fucking incredible.
He's the best.
You just, William, he just interviewed Bob Saget, I think. Did Willem do it?
Did he?
I think Willem interviewed Bob.
Okay, because I interviewed him, too. Bob as Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, Jimmy Fallon interviewed Bob.
No, I interviewed, yeah, me as Jimmy.
No, Jimmy. See, I'm doing you what you do now. I'm not.
I'm faking you out with.
Spider-Man.
I just wanted to see if you knew. That's not the information I received.
See, here's one of the things I love is that you'll do. He's very obscure. I don't know anybody. It does Willem.
Yeah.
And then you'll do Richard Attenborough.
David Attenborough, yeah.
David Attenborough.
Oh, this tiny speck of dirt is not just a speck of dirt. Inside are mustard spiders. Millions of them. a snow finch, measuring almost a foot in length. He spends most of his time completely motionless.
See, here's the thing is, why isn't Comedy Central just... Do you understand, like, how do you feel Do you think the state of comedy is confused?
It is. But you know what's great? It's independent as it's ever been. So
it is.
Create your own islands.
It is. Dude, speak on that. But what I mean by confused, and I'll go back to it, but say what you're going to say.
No, do it the way you want to do it, and then keep doing it, and then maybe someone will take it as it is.
Well, you can. Well, the beautiful thing about your show is you couldn't do it any other way. And it's perfect for your voice, and it's you, and it came through your loins and your brain, and it's your fucking talents, and it's perfect. But, like, you couldn't pitch that, and I don't want to call out Comedy Central and different things, but it's like, if you were just to sit into a meeting, this is why someone like me should be a president of a network, and you too. There's not enough us in the networks, because you sit there and if you just riffed with somebody, if they just say, okay, we got to give you a show, or we got to figure out what you want to do. Like, just David Attenborough doing interstitials on Comedy Central.
Hi, I'm David Attenborough. The world doesn't have long, and neither do I. So you might want to try some Listerine. If your breath is foul, and maybe from another era or age, maybe you need some breath spray, you bitch.
I don't even know.
But what time is it?
You guys ready to play the feud? Show me time.
That's what I'm saying. But it's... Don't you think that you should just have a job in comedy forever? Don't you think people should just be throwing thousands of dollars at you? Because
be nice, but
I do. I think that, and you will be, and it will. You're just so talented, dude.
Thank you.
You fucking are so talented. I'm crying. And it's like, I just hate it. I think so much people get caught up in all the bullshit and like, what's cool, what's popular. I just care about what's good. What elicits an emotion?
But this is the thing. It's like, what's great about the internet is that they all come to it, right?
Yes.
Whereas it's not coming to them. It's not being presented to people that could care less, don't get it, don't want to listen to it, not their thing. I mean, it's harder to get that going, but, you know, I mean, things catch on. You know, just keep doing it, I guess. Had John Lovitz today.
That was a lot of fun. Oh, that's great.
He's so great.
Did you call him up?
I did, yeah. I
got to get him to come here. Will he come here? Is he just doing Zoom?
I think he might.
Who interviewed him?
A Dr. Phil. Yeah. Hey, John. Hey, fuck you, John. At the end, we're getting a fight.
Are you dead?
Hey, fuck you, John.
Fuck you, Dr. Phil.
Yeah, okay, buddy. We're just like going for it. It's fun.
So when you pick an impression, do you pick like, what happens if you feel like, because like sometimes I want to do someone, but so many people do them. So it's like, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, it's almost like that's what makes me not want to do those ones, because it's like, well, they've already cracked the code. They've already, it's almost like if I do it, it almost seems like
you're hacking. It's
almost like I'm hacking into the system.
It's not true, though.
It's not really true, because those are universal things about that person that everyone would agree.
Easier. Oh, I know. It's easier to do somebody who's broad, right?
Yeah, like a Dr. Phil's easier. Like,
there's more to grab onto. Yeah. That's what. It's harder to do Kevin Costner.
Yeah, you have to really find that thing that everyone also agrees with is true.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, but then some of them, like, I've done ones like Willy Wonka or something, one that's people have done. You know.
Oh, you do Gene Wilder.
There's no way of knowing. Mm-hmm. There are good things. There are good days. Yes, fine, good. On we go. You know.
Yeah.
There are little things. You know, like, so I'm
So the factory closed down in 08 because, well, there was an outbreak. There was an outbreak of sugar candies. Sugar Tiny?
I can't do it. You did. I can't think of any of the dialogue. I had Ginger Gonzaga on, and I did Willy Wonka.
Who's that?
She's great. Hilarious. Gorgeous girl on, she was in...
Comedian?
Yeah, she's been in a lot of things.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So are you okay? Is there any particular reason you're sitting in a bathtub? Yes, good, fine, on we go. Do you want something to drink? Maybe some, I don't know, lemon water? Something like that.
I like that one.
It's not bad.
No, I dude, there's nothing that's going to be bad that you do.
Thank you. Sweet.
So you wanted to work together. What did you want to do?
Yeah, what should we do? We could do a deep fake.
Well, I was trying to, like, I haven't been working on impressions, but I actually have one I'm going to try on you. But I don't think anyone's done it. Okay. But I don't have them yet. So I'm going to try a couple and you'll tell me if you like them.
All right.
Okay. You know Warren Buffett?
Yeah.
Well, my idea was if you took 18 cents and you put it in the stock market in 1933, do you know what it would be worth right now? I'm just hypothetically what I'm trying to tell you.
That's great. That would be perfect.
It'd be worth $433,000. If you took 10 cents and you put it in Gillette razor, you understand, everyone has got to shave. If they have to shave, you know what you'd have. I'm not there
it's
yet.
It's really good, though.
It's not bad?
It's really funny. Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody does
him. I don't know
him.
What he sounds like all the way, but
he's like.
But you know what? That's like, I would believe that sounds just like him.
So if I deep fake that, I was thinking I could come on your show as Buffett.
Buffett. Yeah, that'd be cool.
And like some weird buddy, if like William Dafoe interviewed Warren Buffett.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe or maybe Hannibal Lecter.
That's a good one.
I did Brad Garrett with Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, you attended UCLA for less than 2 months before dropping out to pursue a career in comedy. You wanted to get out. Wanted to get anywhere. Wanted to get all the way to CBS. Your mother's name is Barbara. He was her homemaker. Your mother's name is Albert. He was a hearing aid salesman. Cut off a man's hair. You can still feel it tickling. Tell me when your little hair's on the bathroom floor. Where will it tickle you?
Wait, okay, what about... Okay, so you inspire me, and I kind of used to do this one, but I haven't. No one ever got it since he's older. I'm James Mason, and there we are, the total of the totalitarianism. I don't have him yet.
That's really good, though.
I have to think what he says. I'm James Mason. That's all I can have to think about, like some of his lines. But I could. That's in my, because you find your cadence and what your voice can do. I feel that you can do. I don't know what your tone is. I don't know if you're baritone or what, but because you're a great singer, and I don't even have to ask you, know you're doing music, because anyone who can do impressions can sing.
I can't sing like normal. I can sing like...
I'm sure you can, dude. I could carry a tune too, but I'm not. Like, but it's because of the ear thing. So James Mason was... he was like in my wheelhouse. So I have to think of like those in my wheelhouse. So this is... Wait, tell me if you like this one. This is... I've never seen anyone do this one either. You know Dick Vitale?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby. Look at him. He's coming down the court, baby. He's young, baby. He's a diaper dandy, baby. He jumps out of the gym, baby. Oh, yeah. He's a Del Taco 2-for-1 chalupa, baby. Like, I don't have him yet.
That's good, that, too.
But
so you have like 90% of those.
Yeah, like, I would have to sit and work. You know, it's a pain. But, like, I can, those ones come in my ear, and I can kind of say enough of them. But they take work.
But it's almost like if you start writing it, you can write it to where you say it right.
Yes.
And it's almost like that writing process is kind of what gets you to do the impression, because you don't know what they're going to say, right? I mean, that's how I feel about it. It's like, I got to write some of this out so that I can
you know, I can't just start doing it. So you're asking me, like, which impressions I can do the best. Well, there's, like, 10 of them because I feel like there's really only 10 that I can get real fluid in, you know?
Well, I don't want to say it, but, like, I loved you in Less Than Zero, and I'm amazed at what you're doing now.
You know, it's like, you know, sure, like, this Fandango, this weird multi-collision, weird, like, you know, voodoo. It's like voodoo in a bottle. It's like bullshit, but it's like, it makes sense because you go to the ATM machine and you can only pull out $300. It's like, what else you need the money for? She's your ATM, you draw a check, or you just like pay the guy in a couple of days. It's like this weird, like this cathartic, like, you know, postmodern, like, you know, weird, like confectionery bullshit. It's like bullshit.
That's one that you really groove in. You love doing RDJ.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like I sound like a surfer.
Yeah.
It's like hang 10, you know, cowabunga dude, but I don't really mean it because it's like, I don't even like sunscreen. I don't like sunburns or sunscreen or sun bullshit, like sun-kissed or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's so good because it's like, it is the surfer, but it's its own.
I cocked my head back and forth because, yeah, you know, I don't really do manual labor, so I can kind of mince.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you know, not Dan Mensch, but like just regular Mensch. You know what I mean? Like, you know, just like, you know, chocolate covered this, you know, this weird post, you know, this post-apocalyptic bullshit. Like there's nothing in the fridge, nowhere to go, nothing to do. Door doesn't even shut, you know, this kind of thing.
It's so funny. Wait, here's one more and then I'll go back to our conversation. This was what I used to do, but I don't really have them yet. And I never really did them all the way. But I think a couple people did them. But you might do them. I don't know if you do them. So this came, I went to an acting class. And long story short, one of the years, Dustin Hoffman's daughter, Jen, you know her?
No, but yeah.
I bet you're talking to her. She was in my class. And that's where I met Dustin at our graduation, and he was like the nicest guy, and he was like, told me, like, you know, just go for it, you know. And then I went to a summer program because I wanted to learn Shakespeare, so I got into this program. I did a summer, and they had, like, professional actors talk, and one was Alan Rickman.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I don't know if you do him.
That guy's so good. No, I know, but I love him.
But he, I was like, there's something that nobody really does. And I asked him, and I was fucking totally American, fucking bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. I go, Mr. Rickman, what was it like when you went from, like, doing Hamlet to going into being in the Die Hard? Because he really didn't give a fuck about movies. He was like a fucking board walker, you know? Yeah. So it was almost like a step down for him, but the money he was getting. He goes, this is what he said to me. He goes,
the limousines get darker.
I don't know if I have
it
yet.
It's really good, too.
He was like, the limousines get darker.
I don't have, I had to listen to him more, but he was over.
Limousines get darker.
Yeah, I know.
Mr. McLean, Mr. Joseph Tukake.
I don't have him yet. I had him, but he was good. Such a good deep, thick voice, and he just would like boom through the whole class. But he was like, I was a stupid question.
Yeah.
I was like, it's like not Bard, not all the things he won, not the Royal Academy, or all this stuff. I go, what was it like to work with Bruce Willis and being Die Hard and going to a premiere? He's like,
the limousines get darker.
It was so deep.
Right. That's so good.
But it's not there yet, but I like, see, that's weird. Those are weird ones. But I think I've seen a couple people do them.
You just showed me that you could do Morgan Freeman. It's you have that kind of register. You can get to that.
I heard a teeny bit there. Wait, can you do Morgan? That's Frank.
I can't.
He does them brilliantly.
You know who does them really good, too, is Josh Robert Thompson.
I know him.
He's a really good. He does a good George Lucas, too.
Oh, yes. That was the round table.
Yeah.
Where you were on that round table.
Yeah.
What was that called again?
That was
so good, dude.
It's like a Collider deep fake round table.
It was you as RDJ, the other guy, and it was Jamie. Was it Jamie Costa?
Yep.
Jamie Costa's so good.
Yep.
And he doesn't want to do comedy.
Why?
I don't know. He's such a good impressionist.
I mean, he's doing comedy.
I never see him do stand-up.
He doesn't want to do stand-up.
No, but I've seen him do at least 8, like, dead-on impressions.
Yeah. And also, Evan Ferrante.
Yeah.
Did Tom Cruise. This is the best Tom Cruise.
Yeah. That's so... that George Lucas was so fucking good. Yeah. And it was Mark Ellis.
Yeah, so Josh Robert Thompson did John... what's his name? Jeff Goldblum. So he did two.
Yes.
So he did two different ones.
See, now that was brilliant too, his Goldblum. But see, I feel like how do you do that when, like, there are people that do Goldblum?
I mean, the thing is if you do it right, it's going to sound like all the Goldblums, right? Like, if you do a good Goldblum, it's going to sound like everybody that does Goldblum. I mean, that's the major problem. It's like,
yeah,
you can paint the wall, but it's like somebody just painted it that color. And that's the right color for it. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I don't know. It's like, go for the ones that nobody does, because that's more fun, I think.
Yeah, but it's nothing wrong with a Jack Nicholson impression.
No, there's nothing wrong with it either. No.
It's annoying, though. It's not like the audience will eat it up.
Look,
it's the fucking hipster comics that are like, impression.
I guess it's this.
What do you fucking do?
If you want to do it, then do it.
I know, but people call you hacky. It's stupid. It's not.
I know. It's not really.
It's not. It's fucking brilliant.
But there's another word for it. You know?
What is it?
Talented? Well, you want to do something different with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I don't think it totally matters who you do. It's kind of what you do with it.
But like Danny Gans had like 100 voices he would do in Vegas. And that was his thing. And then it's like a Vegas show or whatever. But still doesn't mean it wasn't amazing.
Right.
But like, you know, maybe that was too many. I don't know. But like, I think doing impressions is fucking funny. So if I do them, I try to sell them with a joke. Like, I use it, like, you know, blah, 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 running down, like, blah, blah, like Marge Simpson or something, and then throw it in. And then, like, kind of use it as a tool. But I just love them, and I love characters, and I love acting out stuff, and I think that's part, a big thing of comedy. I'll tell you something. You'll tell me what you feel. So I did a show before the pandemic, and this was a sweet show, and it was like you were saying, comedy has never been more. What was the word you used?
Controversial?
No, it's independent.
Independent, yeah.
Yeah,
independent.
So like anyone can do it, and people can find, you can build your own little lane in fiefdoms. And I did, and the good thing is I do shows with all types of people. Now is the time for the mint.
Sorry.
Did you smell your breath on the mic?
These are marijuana mints.
Oh, you're getting there. Okay. So
I'm timing my drive home.
So I did a show, and this was like young comics and older comics, a mix of known and unknown. And this guy came up to me, and he was like, hey, you know, I was like old school. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you really went for it. You committed. And I was like, well, that's comedy, isn't it? He's like, yeah, but you're not scared to get like big and sometimes look, you know, crazy or stupid. And I was like, well, that's comedy. Like, you go. You can fucking just sit there and deliver jokes like this, or you can also you can do it both.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny. Do you feel like that? That sometimes people feel like if you're so big, it's like too much?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think people know what they want or not even know what they like. You know, I think like, you know, things have to get like a seed of popularity or whatever before people can. Because I feel like people don't even know what people. I've done a lot of shows where people don't even know I'm kidding, like some of it, you know, like in the middle stuff where you do a joke and then in the middle you say, or not, in the, you know, you do a joke and then you just say something off the top of your head. Like that stuff will just go over people's heads.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the funnest stuff, like saying something crazy and being sarcastic or being weird or something. And like to me, that those are the funnest moments.
Yeah.
Or just being silent until they're all. You know, I don't know. Like, I miss performing. I haven't done any of live stuff in a while.
There are some shows. I mean,
Are there?
There's like fields.
You like it?
Park in a way, dude. It's I do. It's very freeing, and people really love. They're really appreciative. It's actually beautiful.
Where is it?
Rene Vaca and Robert Zapata have a killer show at a parking structure in Van Nuys. Tammy Joe and her wife have a great show at the Magic Castle. Max and Melissa Dawn have a great show starting at the Roosevelt at the pool. Then there's shows at like the baseball field. There's a show.
There's a lot of shows.
They're like, there's pop-ups. I'll tell you a bunch, but I mean, you work it out, do 10 minutes. If you just went on and fucking just riffed for 10 minutes, you just murder. I mean, it would be good for your psyche, dude.
I'd like to do it.
Yeah, you just, because you gotta, I think it's good for you to get out.
I didn't know there was anything going on.
There is. Have you been online?
I haven't really.
It just started getting busy again, though.
Yeah, because I thought it went away.
It did, and then it started coming back.
Okay.
But like.
With the restaurants? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the restaurants are somewhat open. But do you, you gotta get out.
Yeah, I need to.
Are you up by the factory?
Yeah.
You and Bill?
Yeah.
And Johnny?
Johnny and.
And Dan.
And Dan, yeah.
That's the foursome.
Danny Green.
Yeah. Are you a Vegemate?
We did Vegemates, yeah.
It's good, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Did that mint just kick
Wait,
in?
Wait, you mean Vegemate?
Yeah.
No, it's not good. You had your mind?
It was good.
I watched yours, too. You were really into it.
It's so good.
That's so weird of you to be into it.
I was into it. Vegemite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever, Australians are the only people who don't think you can do their accent. Do you notice that? They're a very arrogant group of people.
About their accent, yeah.
And it's like they're the most. It's the most obvious accent to do. Like,
it's like the one I want to do wrong the most, though.
Yeah, to get them.
Hello, mate. You know, just to get the full trajectory on it. Hello, mate. It's a good day. Sometimes they sound German. They so sound so Australian. They sound German. It's a good day. Okay, Mr. Gloob.
You used to say this to the. I used to just say yeah.
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 Yeah. And they go, no, mate. Sounds nothing like it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They get so worked up about it.
Oh, yeah, man. They just can't. Yeah. They almost ask you to do an impression of them.
I know.
So they can shit on you.
They really think that they're super intelligent people. They think they're the world's greatest thinkers. Yeah. They created Uber. And they think they're the best looking people. They are very good looking people. And they're brawn and they're sporty. But they really don't think that you... They think they're like this unique being that you can't capture their essence or something. And that, to me, it's just in one word. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Dan gets it.
Today is a good day.
Dan gets it.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of Australians are bogans. You know what a bogan is?
No.
A bogan? Yeah. Right. In fact, no, let me do. I mixed like three things there. A bogan is their like version of like a deep, deep bush person like we have in Arkansas. So it's a real thick, like think of a lot. Am I gonna? I'm trying to think. Hey, y'all go down there. Y'all see that caterpillar tractor? Like they would stretch it out. So it'd be like, yeah. Right, well, yeah, I had a knife, and the guy, the bloke, something, it's just, it's really stretched out.
Yeah.
Like, say, like, I want a Vegemite sandwich in the sun, but stretch it out. Yeah, bloke wanted a Vegemite sandwich there in the sun. Something like that. And they don't think that's them. They think that's... Sounds like it's Spanish.
You know what I did to Dan when he first moved in?
Huh.
Every time he had something in his hand, and I would go, that's not a knife. And then he'd have anything he had in his hand. He never had a hand. He never had a knife in his hand.
Yeah.
So I do it every time. That's not a knife. That's not a knife. And then don't even do the accent.
Just
Dan, that's not a knife.
That's not. But what would David Attenborough say?
That's not a knife. And I don't want anything to do with it.
Hold on. So David Attenborough, he's hooked up with a 26-year-old man at Jamba Juice. What happens?
Well, nothing much happens because neither one of us had a condom. I'm afraid we both went home empty-handed.
Oh, shit, dude. See, this is what we could do. We could do like a deep fake.
Why not David Attenborough and
James Mason?
Yeah, James Mason. Or what's the first one you did?
Oh, I forget.
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett.
Those two guys. We had the gray hair and stuff, or the white hair.
Yeah, I have to have the guy who does your deep fake. Go
you
ahead.
Can do it, yeah.
Go ask Warren a question. I'll start with.
Well, Mr. Attenborough, if you took, what do you call it in your country? Is it pounds, shillings? What is it?
Pounds.
All right. So if you had like 8 or 9 pounds, if you invested just £9 in Coca-Cola in 1947, do you know how many euros you would have right now?
How many?
You would have over 1,000. I'll tell you that. Well, I'll tell you that. I don't have my calculator here. I usually have. Bruce has it. But
you sound malnourished.
Well, I actually eat a lot of McDonald's every day. I bought stock in 1947, but I held it. You know, you reinvest the dividends, and that you're betting on America. That's what you're betting on. You're betting on America.
I'm betting on you need to take a shit. And probably a nasty one, too. You know, a shit that has hair on it. A hairy shit.
Dude, that's a real type of shit. Dude. Is fucking Attenborough, God rest, is he alive?
He's still alive, thank God.
God rest his soul, dude.
No, he's alive.
God bless his soul.
Oh, he's like, God rest his soul.
Richard, where's Richard?
My brother Richard is a closet homosexual. But he's never going to tell you that.
Show me gay.
Oh, God, dude.
You're probably going to get letters. But I don't care, because I'm a crazy motherfucker.
Tell me how many impressions you do off the top. You do 30. Give me just the other names. You don't have to do them, and I might.
Let's see. Louis, Hannibal Lecter, Willy Wonka. The ones I haven't told you. Let's see. Jimmy Fallon.
I saw him, yeah.
Hannibal Lecter, Jimmy Fallon, Willy Wonka, Louis Anderson, Letterman, Willem Dafoe, Robert Downey Jr.
Dude,
I can't remember.
We just have to do the show. Just have a show.
Let's do it.
Were you?
Let's do it.
I want to bring back. I'm not gonna tell people, but I want to bring back like my show experiment. But it's like, what can you do now? Because everyone gets mad. And I want to do like celebrity, like literally, dude. I've seen you. You look like RDJ when you're in the makeup.
A little bit.
So that would be like an element of just adding.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, we could do this basically like hook up weird Jamba Juice, like backwards, weird, strange, cathartic. You know, just like blowhole thing. Check, I didn't say I wanted fried eggs. I said I want boiled eggs, but nobody knows what that means anymore. So I had fried eggs. Don't you think it's weird and strange, and also weird and strange that I do this a lot? I do my hair. I feel good. It's like a whole thing, you know?
When you go up on stage, do you do your impression? I don't really see you doing them on stage. Yeah. But you do a mix of things.
A little bit, yeah. Run around. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. But I haven't done it in a year. So I don't even know if I can do stand-up anymore. Might have to leave it alone.
I think you can.
Let's do it.
Gotta do.
We'll do a special appearance by David Attenborough. We'll do it live first. We'll have wigs.
I want to do the deep fake.
No, we got to do the deep fake, yeah.
Oh, God damn it. I'm crying, bro. Do you think the comedy is going to be in trouble?
I mean...
do you mean in terms of, like, what people...
I think it's going to... I think that already it's... You know, people are censoring themselves and they're not trying things. And
yes.
People just go, oh, you can't say that. And then they go, oh, I can't say that. And then you start telling themselves you can't say anything. And if you tell yourself you can't say anything, you're not going to say anything. It's just going to be...
Yeah.
It's up to you to really go, look, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm going to just do this. Maybe you have to thread the needle more, but I think it's accomplishable. But you mean that old style of comedy is, that's what, that's, I don't know, I hope that survives, you know, the Jim Norton and the Brian Holtzmans and, all, you know, the guys that just say whatever they want.
I know, dude.
You know? I mean, I don't worry about those guys as much as I do about people that think they could have done that kind of thing and then they don't want to because they're afraid to. Like, you know, they're young and they're like, you know, I think I have that in me to be like a Jim Norton or a Holtzman or something like that. And they go, that's not a good, I don't know.
Because they're scared of.
They're afraid, man. I'm afraid. When I'm doing the show, it's like I'm.
But what, you don't do anything bad.
I try not to say anything, you know, that doesn't.
Do you think that, why do you think it's gotten so bad? I have my opinion.
I don't know. I don't know
100%. Can I? Show me. Show me brain aneurysm. Show me. Somebody, are you ready? Show me cancel culture.
But you ever do that? You ever done that? You ever do that? You ever do that? You ever do that?
See, then you went in the dustin. This is brilliant. Watch this. Louis starts Family Feud, and then he hands it over to Dustin, but they don't. It just naturally happens.
Hey, everybody. I'm Louis Anderson, and you're watching the Family Feud. You never know who's going to stop by.
Warrior, how you doing? It's Dustin Hoffman. Yeah.
That's incredible. Okay, now hold on. What do you think is going to happen with comedy? Do you know why people get so offended? Tell me your opinion, or I'll tell you mine.
I think they aren't offended.
They're not.
I don't think they're actually offended. I don't think anyone is.
No, they're not, but they...
They feel like they have to be offended. They have to act offended.
Yeah.
They have to be appalled by something.
Yeah.
But I just find it amazing that you can literally have a comedy club where you go in there and you know what the deal is. You know when you go there, they're going to say whatever. They're going to make fun of this. They're going to do this. But now it's like you can't even do it there. I think that's.
It's like going to the gym and sweating on the weights and people get mad. Sweat on weights is the product.
That's a really good way of putting it.
Right?
Not sweaty weights. Sweat on weights.
Yeah.
Which was, I think, the first porno film I ever saw.
Sweat on Weights?
Yeah.
Didn't Attenborough direct that?
I actually associate produced it.
Dude, wait. Do you know, by the way, they just cloned a ferret?
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, you gotta only take 1 minute next time because there's certain facts you need to know. They just fucking cloned a ferret that went out of commission in 1988. A black-tailed ferret extinct.
Really?
33 years later.
Brought it back to life?
Yes, from DNA of a dead ferret. And you know what that is? Welcome.
They can bring Rush Limbaugh back to life.
I was going to say welcome to Jurassic. It's your line.
Welcome to... Is that... Oh, did he do that line?
Yes.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Yes. Welcome.
He has, welcome to Jurassic Park.
That's exactly how he said it. You never saw him say that?
No.
Did you ever see Jurassic Park?
Parts of it. You know what? I was supposed to see it in the movie theater and I didn't. And then I'm like... Everyone told me, oh, you had to have seen it in the movie theater. So I never watched it.
Wow. Yeah, he said that.
That's the effect society will have on you.
Yes. Who is that?
I don't know.
But here's my opinion why I think people get a mad or fake mad. Because there's so many people that, like, if you just sat in a Dunkin' Donuts, right? Right now. And you just started doing impressions in the corner by yourself, I would laugh, right? But a lot of people in society wouldn't know what to do with that because they're not funny. So I think with all the people being offended shows you how many funny, there's not many funny people in the world because now everyone has a voice.
Well, everyone's afraid to make someone feel bad.
But how is Richard Attenborough making someone feel bad?
He's not.
No, he's not. He could never.
Yes. I also enjoy McDonald's. Except I get the filet of fish and then I rub it on my balls. I don't know what's
like. Do you know Leslie Jordan?
No.
He's awesome, dude. He's a great character. You gotta watch his Instagram. He's like an actor. He's been in a million things. I don't want to do him, but you're going to look at him and you're going to want to do him too.
Cool.
I mean, he's funny as fuck, dude. Leslie Jordan. Look him up.
Okay.
Dude, I feel like those mints hit you. Voila.
I just feel a little, I feel sedate. Nothing too bad. I don't feel like I'm, you know, I'm out of sorts or anything like that. I could probably use a nap.
Yeah.
That's what he said. See, you have the lines that you latch onto.
Yeah.
Have you ever, when you, like, interested in a woman, and you, like, make out with a woman and then break into an impression, you've done that?
Yeah.
And they love it.
Well, I don't know. Depends on how well you know her. But usually, I think impressions are good. It's a little creepy, though, for
if you're just
to be Dustin. I mean, especially if they're not into the one you're doing an impression of. Right? Like Dustin Hoffman, you know, like David Attenborough, right?
Oh! Your breasts are like majestic ocean. Majestic oceans. I'm entranced by the supple of your neck. Your hair smells like shampoo, but the kind of shampoo I like. That strawberry shit.
Is that fucking... Dude. What do you want to plug? I want you to plug all your socials. Tell everybody where you're at. Where can they find you?
Instagram is the Jeff Richards, and
hey, you got the. I'm the Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah,
because somebody took Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah,
somebody took Jeff Richards.
No, they didn't take him. I'm just stupid enough not to use the. No, somebody did. I think it's a lawyer in Texas. Use it, but the Jeff Richards Twitter, the Jeff Richards, and that's and thejeffrichardsshow.com. That's where my podcast is, or wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, you got to watch his show. I was on it. He's got so many great guests. Fucking brilliant. I'm going to go back on it. Hopefully, we're going to do a deep fake.
Definitely.
Dude, You're fucking hilarious.
Thank you. So are you.
This is so much fun, dude. It's fucking legend.
I love having you. I mean, love being here. Thank you.
Love to fucking figure this out.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Peace, guys.